Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
We're going to talk about that in a minute, but if you came here today and you usually have coffee in the lobby, we're sorry. We're only passing out water. Is that okay? 21-day Daniel fast, so what happens is, and by the way, let me say this. If you're on this Daniel fast, I'm proud of you. It's not always easy. Sometimes the energy level is low. But if you're not on the Daniel fast and you want to join with us, we have two more weeks left. 2 weeks from today is the Super Bowl, so we're kind of breaking it the day before. But I did see some funny pictures on the internet about fasting. When the pastor decides the whole church needs to fast, that's the face that you kind of get right there. Oh, poor guy. Yeah, that's going to be all of us by Friday, right there. Next one. Fasting isn't hard if you sleep past noon. All right. That look you give when people keep offering you food and you're fasting. Has that happened to you this week at all? Like the good foods come around you? Like, oh, I can't do that. Last one right there. I like this one. Guy's reading a book on fasting, and meanwhile, he's got something from Subway right there. Eat fresh. But anyway, that just kind of happens to us. And so we're on a 21-day Daniel fast, and if you're with us, we're really excited about what God's doing. We're seeing God do miracles in our hearts and our life, and this morning I want to preach to you a message about the fiery furnace. That's the kind of that video you just saw, and then next week, Daniel and the lion's den. But this morning I want to talk to you about the friends, the furnace, and then the fourth, I don't know why that's underlined, the fourth in the fire with the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. First, the friends. If you were here with us on Wednesday night, you know we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. This is what happened to them. The Bible says they were brought into Nebuchadnezzar's training for 3 years, but they were without physical defect, handsome. That's why I qualified to be in this as well. Ability to learn, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve. They had to learn a new language. They were given new names. They had to learn the literature of the Babylonians. And the big kicker, that why we're even talking about this, is that they ate different food. The food that was given to them was meat and wine that was served to idols. And they asked for permission not to defile themselves. And for 10 days or 21 days that they would eliminate that. And they said, test us. We'll eat fruits and vegetables, the Daniel fast, the Daniel diet, if you will. And we will move forward and ask God to help us. And after that amount of time, they performed better. These young people were moving forward because God was giving them a certain amount of strength. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, this was their conviction. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. And so these young men were committed to purity. They were committed to living their lives in a sense of faith to God. Now here's our text. Daniel 3, verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I had set up?" I don't know if you know the whole Bible story, but it was a 90-foot pillar of Nebuchadnezzar, and it was made of pure gold, and everybody was to bow down to it. It says, "Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre," is that lyre or lyre? How do you say that? Lyre, right? Harp, pipe, and all kinds of music. "If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good, no problem. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar," and I want you to notice this, the underline, because these were good friends. They were unified. "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, then the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. I want you to know that these three young men were unified and they were together in their love and adoration for God. Let me say this about your friends or people that speak into your life. Your friends will either make you or break you. These young guys, they were solidified in their heart and their desire to serve the living God. There was a unity. Psalm 133 talks about unity. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Psalm 133 verse 3 says, "For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." In the Bible, in the book of Psalms, a big portion of the Old Testament, P-S-A-L-M, there's 15 chapters of what's called the Songs of the Ascent, or Songs of the Steps. If you've ever been to Israel, you know that Jerusalem is up on a hill. And so if you've ever been to Jerusalem or you ever plan on going, you need to get in shape a little bit. There's a lot of walking. But these 15 psalms are called the Psalms or the Songs of the Ascent. And the people of God, three times a year, the men and their families, they would have to go to Jerusalem, make a pilgrimage. And on their way, they would sing Psalm chapter 133. They would sing it. And as they were singing, as they were stepping up, as they were moving up, they were singing this song about unity, about being together. This is way before Queen Latifah sang U-N-I-T-Y. This is well before that. They were walking. One person understood that back in the hood. Anyway, back there. They were singing about being unified. I just want to gently remind everybody in the house that the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about teenagers. Theologians think they were 14, 15, or 16 years old. There's three of them, and they were unified. They say, "Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow down. It doesn't matter what you do to us. We've already counted the cost. If we die, we die, but we live. We're not going to bow down, and we're going to sing about it. We're going to worship God. We're going to bless his name." And by the way, my dad used to say this all the time. Whatever you sing about is what you become. That's why I want you to sing. Men in this church, I want you to learn to sing. Ladies, we want it to be on your pitch level too. We want every young people, we want everybody to sing. You say, "Why sing?" Because when you sing, you become what you sing. So you listen to a bunch of music that has curse words in it, you'll curse more. If you listen to angry music, you'll just get angry more. I mean, if you listen to devil's music, like country and western, if you just listen to that stuff, you're just going to be influenced by it, my friends. But what you sing, it's an emotion. What you sing is what you become. Last week we taught you, it was called a doxology. Let me just kind of... And we're going to sing this on the way out because the most important thing is God. I want you to know God. But this is a song that most churches will sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't know anything about the Bible, you need to know who God is. Now, in the Bible, the word Trinity is not used, but oftentimes we will use that word Trinity. We don't believe in three gods, we believe in one God, but there's three distinct individual people in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, there's not a rank and file. It's not like, okay, God the Father, like he's the number one, and then number two is Jesus because he came to take away our sins, and number three, we don't really know the Holy Spirit, so he's obviously number three. All the people of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are co-eternal, co-equal to one another. So there's no rank and file. And the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. There are three distinct eternal people, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's who God is. We don't believe in a bunch of gods. We're monotheistic, one God, but there is a head, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there's one thing that these young men were not willing to do. They weren't going to bow down. They weren't going to bow down to this giant 90-foot gold structure and defy their God. They knew the scripture. Exodus chapter 20, you know the Ten Commandments. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or the waters below. You shall not bow down or worship them." Ladies and gentlemen, this world wants you to bow down and to worship something. All Satan wants you to do is to bow down and worship something. It could be music, it could be fame, it could be how many likes you have on social media, it could be in your own insecurity, it could be your pride, it could be in sports, alcohol, prescription drugs, it doesn't matter. He just wants you to bow down to something, but Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were not willing to bow down. Something will fight for your worship. But these guys were going to worship God. I went to Central Bible College, that's a small school in Springfield, Missouri, and studied, actually I thought I was going to be a missionary. But I played basketball. We had a great basketball team and competed. I actually played with Mark Batterson. Some of you guys know his books. Mark Batterson, I gave him a bunch of assists. And looking back at this, we played basketball, and then I don't know our coach. What he would do is on the weekends, he would take us to different churches, and we'd do Sunday school classes, and whoever like the junior or senior was, they would preach, and we would do like a men's choir. There's something about men singing together. Just something happens. And after practice, we just took showers. Like sometimes people say, do you have showers in the field house? Not in today's culture. Not with all these people touching little kids and playing on kids. You got no, everyone go home, shower in your own shower. But 20, 30 years ago, I never even thought you would just, you remember, I even remember going to gym class. Anyone old enough go to gym class? You took a shower after gym. You didn't think much of it. So we would just take showers, and not trying to be crass or anything, but we were Christian men. We were young men, and we used to sing to God in the shower. Not to be weird, but we didn't have any clothes on. We weren't thinking like that was weird. No, there was no, even today, our minds go to everything that's like wrong. We go to like homosexuality or something, like men be. I remember we would just sing in the showers. And we would sing hymns. Holy, holy, holy. And it would ricochet all in the showers. We just thought that was the, and we would kind of do it like that. Lord God Almighty. But we would just sing to God from our hearts. There was nothing even like, you know, part, because we just knew that's what God wanted us, to worship Him. And that's what we do. That's who we are. We worship Him. And we must not bow down to the things of this world. You don't go outside today in the middle of the, like, in the middle of our Esham Township, and there's a big 90-foot structure of gold, and everyone has to bow down to it. But this world will ask you to bow down to everything and any time. But God has called us not to be worshiping the things of this world. Do not have idols, but lift up your heads to heaven and worship the living God. Martin Luther King, this is Martin Luther King weekend. Tomorrow, no one goes to school. Thank goodness for that. We get to sleep in a little bit. But look what he said. The time is always right to do what is right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we're not going to bow down. Sometimes you just got to say, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. Could you imagine if Shadrach says to his friend, dude, just bow down. Just come on, just everyone's doing it. Everyone just come on, just do it. Just let's get it over with and let's go have some fun. Let's go chill. You only can live once. These guys were young. Martin Luther King said it. God says it. There's never a time to do the wrong thing. Sometimes you have just to do the right thing, even if nobody else is doing it. Our lives begin and end the day we become silent about things that matter. Ladies and gentlemen, when you worship the living God, that matters. And nobody should take away your worship to the living God. God is worthy. And by the way, especially the men in this room, if you have a close-knit group of men in your life that love God and push you towards Jesus and push you towards worship and push you towards God and they encourage you, you're a very wealthy man. You can have millions of dollars in the bank and you don't have anybody close in your life that pushes you towards the right way, you're very poor. Having good friends will either make you or break you. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You've heard that said many times. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harms. I'm a guy's guy. You know I'm a guy's guy. So you might have your drinking buddies. You get together with them. You say like stupid jokes. Talk about girls or whatever. It's foolish. You're wasting your time, your energies. You have girlfriends, talking, gossiping, whatever. It's all the kind of, guys do the same thing. Or young people do the same thing. Talk bad about people, make fun of people, take racist jokes, talk about the president or whatever. Do all this different stuff. It just kind of wastes you. Who your friends are, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were diehard. They were committed to Jesus. And even if you take their life, they were going to worship the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage nobody in this house, don't let anybody ever take away your ability and your desire to worship the living God. Amen? Amen. And by the way, in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to have an opportunity for you to join a small group. You say, I don't have friends. You join a small group. You say, I have a lot of friends. You still join a small group. There's something about getting together with God's people. First of all, there's food. Come on, somebody. Christian people know how to eat. But also there's a time of fellowship and encouragement. We kind of go over the sermon from the morning. And it's amazing. We get to know people. And you say, hey, this is good for me. This strengthens my soul. You don't have to get together. See, some people are like, they resist. And they say, well, I don't want to tell everybody my whole stuff. You don't tell everybody anything if you don't want to. But you need to be around people that are serving God. And it uplifts you and it helps you. And it helps you in times of trouble. Number two, not just the friends, but the furnace. Watch this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And his attitude towards them changed. By the way, there's going to be people in your life. One day they like you, one day they don't like you. That just happens. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing fire. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing fire. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing fire. You know how it is when you kind of get a fire going, like rushing. One time, I had to go outside. We have a fireplace in our house, and my daughter was kind of like lounging right in front of the fireplace. And I brought in like the logs. I had them in my hands, and by accident, one of the logs kind of fell off and hit my daughter. The ground kind of took the brunt of it, but it kind of did kind of just kind of get her eye just a little bit, right? She got up. This is JoJo. Dad, how could you? How can you drop the log on my? I said, how dare you look at the log in my eye when you got that right there? Anyway, she turned out to be fine, but that's it. Do you say Christian people, do they ever, Christ followers, do they ever go through the flames? Or life, does it ever get hotter for you? Like you walk in, you say, okay, enough, God, enough's enough. I'm all right, you're teaching me faith or obedience or whatever. Enough's enough. And all of a sudden it gets turned up 7 times hotter. These three guys, it didn't stop them. They kept marching on, and sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we got to keep marching on. It doesn't matter what the promise, if we make it or not. There's been a lot of Christians who've taken steps for God, and they died. But in this story, it says that God's going to save them. God's going to help them. And maybe you're going through a very difficult time today. I want you to know that God's going to be with you. God's faithful. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you just got to keep worshiping right through the problem. You get thrown into the furnace. Some of you have difficult lives. You have challenges today that are before you. You say, John, it's hard. It's challenging financially, whatever. Sometimes we just got to keep moving by faith and keep trusting God and keep worshiping God even during the difficult times, even in the furnace. See, I didn't sign up for this. That's one of the challenges of life with Christian people, maybe suburban people, is, hey, I give my life to Jesus or yes to Jesus. I start going to church. And we have this thing that life's not going to be challenging. On one side, when you give your life to Christ, man, God spares you from a lot of problems. Listen, if you're an alcoholic and Jesus cleans you up and you never get into another car drunk, you're going to be glad that you never took anybody's life. Because if you had to deal with that nonsense and you kill somebody, you have that on your conscience and you're spending time in jail and you had to take your driver's license away, all that stuff, following Jesus is a lot easier. Or if you go to your boss tomorrow and you don't have a conviction about telling the truth and you lie and he catches you and he fires you, it's a lot harder. It's hard. It's hard living without Jesus on some things. But when you give your life to Jesus and you're all in and you refuse to bow down, sometimes life actually gets worse for you because you made a soul conviction of your soul about what you're going to do. And I don't know how it's going to work for you, but I can't promise you a smooth, easy life with a perfect 401k and your kids are going to be perfect. And there's not, no, sometimes God's people go through the fire. But I want to tell you, God goes with us in the fire. He's faithful. And so that's why we just keep showing up to church on Sundays or weekends, and we keep showing up on Wednesday nights. I was sitting with my wife, and man, we had, I think, our best United Prayer service ever. Man, people were worshiping God like I've never heard in this sanctuary. I saw our deacons and some of our staff, they were anointing people with oil, praying that people get touched by God with miracles and healings. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me. You know how the Lord speaks to you, kind of like in your heart, in your mind. I felt like the Lord said to me, I don't usually say things like this. I feel like the Lord said, John, I'm pleased with what's happening right now. I'm pleased with what was happening in the church. People are praying. People are worshiping. People are fasting. They're denying their flesh. They're trusting God. Even if they're going through a hard time, they're here and they're believing God. And I think that's what it is. God's saying, listen, I am pleased with your reliance upon me. Keep trusting me, even if you're going through a hard time. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, trust God. If you're believing God through 21 days, you say, I need miracles, and it hasn't come yet, keep trusting God. If it feels like it's gone up 7 times hotter, keep being faithful. Keep trusting God. He is with us. Look what it says in the book of Exodus. It says this, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Sometimes you've done everything you could do, and God just says, you just stay. Don't run. Don't bow down. Just stand. God's going to get us through. God's going to take you to where you need to go. Have faith. Have trust in him. He's a faithful and a good God. Even when you don't feel it, stay faithful to God. Even when you don't see God working, you say, I'm not getting any vibes right now. Part of our culture, we have to get a high for everything. And we just bounce from like one thing to another thing. And as soon as like you have to kind of calm down, it kind of wrestles with you. At some point in your Christian life, you're going to have to learn this, be still and know that I'm God. So you're going to have to turn off the radio. You might not have any strings like attached. It's just you and God. And you're going to have to hear his voice. These three young men, they were deeply committed. I don't care if everybody else kind of messes up. I'm going to still serve God and I'm going to go forward. The friends, the furnace, and then finally the fourth. The fourth man in the fire. Daniel chapter 3. I love this. You're never alone. God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's faithful. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. Look. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the sons of gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, who tried to set them up, by the way, and royal advisors crowded around them. There was a huddle. They're all huddled up. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. I think this story is amazing. Their smell didn't smell like hell. Didn't smell like the fires. It smelled like the glory of God. I'm not talking about physically how you smell, but you smell full of faith and worship and trust in God. People take notice. Therefore, now watch this. Now all the world's going to hear. Thank goodness they didn't bow down. Come on, just do it real quick. It's not a big deal. Just do it. Just do it. Just bow down 3 times a day and the next day, whatever. And they went and played soccer or football and just got busy. Nope. He said, I declare that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into pile of rubbles. And no other God, watch this, no other God can save in this way. I'm here to tell you, our God saves. He saves you through the fire and he'll save you for all of eternal life. And you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to smell like hell. He's giving you a whole new life that's found in Christ. Then watch this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon, all because they took a stand to follow God. Now, people will argue about this all the time. Who was the fourth person in the fire? Some people will say it was pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Jesus showed up before. Other people will say that's an angel. And you can kind of argue that. That's a kind of a fun thing to talk about at Thanksgiving. I'm not sure exactly, but if I get back to verse 29, here's the key emphasis. Watch this. For no other God can save in this way. God brought help and he brought salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, is the fiery furnace, is it a precursor to what is to come? Because let me just go serious with you for a moment. Most people are scared to die and they say, okay, when I die, I want to go to heaven. So heaven's like bright, it's light. Maybe your friends are there and you don't want to go down. You don't want to go to hell and it's dark and it's fire. That's kind of, even if you don't know the Bible, that's kind of what people will think. I want to tell you that Jesus wants to help you not just get through momentary troubles. Jesus wants to save our souls for all of eternity from hell. And hell is a very real place. We don't want to really talk about hell. We don't want to think about hell. And I just want to tell you, hell was not made for you. It was not made for any person. It was made for the devil and his angels. And God loves you and he cares about you. But hell's a real place. I'm jumping to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. Look at the scripture where it talks about, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says that hell is an eternal flame, complete darkness, no satisfaction, no food. And maybe the worst thing is there's no God. So if you don't want God now, you're only really getting what you want. See, right now, there's a sense of God. When it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun comes out on those who serve God and those who don't serve God. But the Bible says there will be an end. And that's why I preach with passion. That's why I ask you to give all of your money to missions. We gave almost $600,000 last year to missions. Praise God. Why? Because those money go to missionary to reach souls for Jesus Christ. That's the path. Because this is real. God will help you through the difficulty of life, but he also helps people get through eternity and be with him. I want to show you a quick little video about understanding hell. Because a lot of people don't. A lot of people say, well, Hitler, yeah, he killed 6 million Jews, maybe 7 million. Yeah, he deserves to go to hell. But in suburban America, on a Sunday morning, you and your wife came in separate cars. You're kind of hungry. Everything's good. Why aren't they serving coffee? Kids are there. The last thing we're thinking about is eternity. I want to tell you, this pastor deserves hell. Every person who sins, the Bible says sin must be punished, but Jesus came to take away sin and to give us life and eternal life. I'm not an angry preacher. I'm not mad. It's just a reality. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, God is love, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves people. He doesn't want people to be away from him. God is trying to draw people. Even right now, maybe you're far from God. He's trying to draw you. But there is eternal life without God for all of eternity. Watch this quick video that explains hell and God's love. Watch this.
Well, that's a great question, a potentially explosive question. If God is so loving, and the Bible says that he is, then surely he wouldn't send anyone to hell, would he? The Bible says that hell is a place without any of the good things that God gives us and which we enjoy today, such as friendship, love, joy. It's an awful place. And so why can't God just forgive everyone, let anyone into heaven? Why does he insist in a seemingly cruel way that some people must go to hell? Well, the Bible says that God is loving, and it also says that he will send some people to hell. So could it be that both things are true at the same time? And I'd like to spend the next 2 minutes just giving a couple of suggestions as to why this is the case. So just because God is loving does not mean that he loves everything. In fact, there are some things that he doesn't love that in fact he hates. So he doesn't love murder or abuse or selfishness or pride. If actually he is loving, then he will hate these things. it wouldn't be very loving, would it, of God to look at something like child abuse and say, oh, well, I'm not really that bothered. So God is loving, and yet he doesn't love everything. And because this loving God hates bad things, he does something about it. And this is good news. We all have a kind of sense of justice, don't we? So it's good news that people who mistreat others are not allowed into God's perfect kingdom, but are shut out. That is, they're sent to hell. It's loving of a just God to hate and to punish wrongdoing so that only perfect things are in his perfect kingdom. Now, I guess not many of us have got a problem with the idea of famously bad people facing punishment. But this actually leaves us with a problem too, because none of us are perfect. None of us have treated God or treated each other in the perfect way that we were intended to. If I'm honest, I know I haven't treated people as I should. I've hurt people. I've ignored their needs. Actually, even some of the people that I love the most, I've upset. And I haven't treated God as I should, as my maker, my creator, and therefore the ruler in charge of my life. And so I deserve punishment of my wrongdoing too. We actually all deserve to be punished. We all deserve to go to hell. None of us are perfect, so none of us should be in his perfect kingdom. Now, as I say this, I know that that's not an easy thing to hear. It's not an easy thing for me to hear. But just because we don't like something doesn't mean that it's not true. And it's not something that Jesus says flippantly or lightly without caring. And he doesn't say it just to scare us, but he does say it to warn us and to help us see how amazing it is that he offers us a way out. Because this is the amazing news, that even though we all deserve punishment, we deserve to go to hell, Jesus, God himself, has provided a way out for us. Not by leaving things unpunished and so forgetting about justice, but by himself taking our place. In his death, taking our punishment and himself experiencing hell so that we don't have to. It seems to me as if this is a truly loving God. He loves the world enough to punish wrongdoing, and he loves people enough to take the punishment himself. He loves us enough to give us a choice, to ask him to be part of our lives now, and so to avoid hell and look forward to enjoying his perfect eternal kingdom.
I hope that helps you understand, but let me just tell you the reality. Yesterday, before the snow or whatever, the hail came down, my neighbor, I talked to you about the Fox family because I love them and care about them, but Mrs. Fox was walking by herself, so we kind of just pulled up next to her, and they were on vacation, and they were like somewhere with blue water. I was kind of mad at them that they didn't take us with them, but that's a whole other thing. I'm just dealing with that internally. But they said on their flight back to New Jersey, someone on the flight died. So if you're on a flight and somebody dies, I mean, first of all, you're up in the air. That kind of gives you some insecurity anyway. But they just said that the man got up, went to use the restroom, and kind of was a little wobbly, and stewardess came over just kind of trying to help or hold, and right there just fell down. Emergency landing, boom. I mean, reality is we're all going to live and then die. So what happens to us? Not to scare you. I'm just saying here's the reality. Yesterday or 2 days ago, my mother-in-law just moved to Echo a year and a half ago, and somebody passed away right across the street. And so my mother-in-law, she's Italian, you know, Nona, you call her Nona. Everyone has a Nona in their life, you know what I mean? And so what does the Nona do? When someone dies, you go bring sliced oranges over. It's what you do. You kind of give comfort. It's what happens. It happens like this. Why do we, after every service, after every message, we say, hey, who needs to ask Jesus into their life? This is not like insurance, like life insurance. Oh, I better ask Jesus to come into my life so I don't go to hell. No, it's so that heaven comes down into your heart and you have the Lord living inside. If not, you actually have hell inside of you. You have anger and frustration and pride and all this stuff inside of you. Jesus comes and he transforms your life. But you can't do it on your own. You can't go to heaven on your own. You can't make peace with God on your own. You need help. In the Old Testament, it was an animal or a sacrifice. And the sacrificial, every time you sinned, you had to have a sacrifice. And the blood would cover over and kind of give a peace, but it was just temporarily. And he kept rolling back. But then when Jesus came, he was the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And God provided a way to have peace with God, atonement with God, and then eternal life. So that's what makes sense. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. You say, Pastor, I'm a good person. No, you're not. There's not one righteous. No, not one. I have three beautiful girls, and we're proud of them. They're not righteous. They're not holy. They weren't born into that. They need help. And I want to tell everybody in this room, God can help you, and he can save you. And that's exactly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is not just a little story you tell your seven-year-olds or in a kid zone. It's the salvation of mankind. They went through it, and there was no smell. Other people died. God saved them, and God wants to bring salvation. And some of you are in this church. You don't even know why you're in this church. It's not because of the preaching or the music or our church does it better than any other church. God wants us to bring salvation and hope to this world in Jesus' name. And if you're saved already, wonderful, but God wants you to get other people saved. We got to get people saved because there is a hell. We must preach the truth. We must preach eternal life. And I know it doesn't make it really easy on the ears, but that doesn't matter. I mean, could you imagine seeing me in eternity? You say, Pastor, why don't you tell me the truth? We have stuff to wrestle through, but ladies and gentlemen, there is a hell. God doesn't want any human being to go to hell. He wants heaven to come into your heart. He wants you to know the ways of God, and he wants you to have eternal life. But if you're here today and you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven, I would make this the top priority. This is more important than the football game. I mean, this is more important than school or no school tomorrow. This is more important, like what food you want to eat. This is eternal stuff. This is eternal stuff. And God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants to save you. So I have a question. Are you saved? I mean, are you sure? Are you saved? Like if you would die today, you know without a shadow of doubt, you would go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for you. Not because you're a good person. There's no one righteous. No, not one. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? No one's looking around, and we've changed our posture, and if you're on the Daniel fast, your body has adjusted for a week, and it's different. But also, we're believing God during this Daniel fast for miracles. But not just, hey, we need some miracles to get us out of the fire that we're in, because you'll have another fire next week, and you'll have another problem down the road. We're also praying for the greatest miracle for the salvation of souls. That Jesus would save us, that Jesus would transform us, and Jesus would save all of South Jersey. And God wants to use us to bring salvation, hope, and healing to a lost and dying world. But Satan will not, he will distract you from eternity. He just wants to distract you, to get you not thinking about it. He wants you to get upset about little things that don't matter. But God's called our church. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're a good example to us. They were diehard. They were committed. Dude, boy, they had friends and unity. They went through that fire. But Jesus was there, saved them. And you've come into God's house. You say, Pastor, I need Jesus to save me. Or maybe you're a second group of people. Pastor, I'm with you. I want to be used by God to bring salvation, and I want to save people. Not that you save people, but you're just part of it. I'm inviting people to church. I'm sharing the gospel. I'm encouraging people. I'm pushing people in the right way. I'm doing everything I can. I'm led by the Spirit. I need God's power. God wants to do something wonderful through your life so you can bring salvation to people. Everyone in this room, God wants to use you to save people. Let me say that again. Everybody in the room, young person to the oldest person, black, white, male, female, tall, short, doesn't matter. God wants you to bring salvation to other people. In your network of friends, you would declare it, you would invite, you would encourage, you would pray, and you would fast, saying, oh God, for your glory, for your honor. Let all South Jersey hear of the goodness of Almighty God. So if you're here today, and with a quick just hand, say, Pastor, you're speaking to me. God is wanting me to be a soul winner. God is wanting me to share the message. God is sparking my heart for what really matters. God is wanting me to share the message of heaven. He wants me to warn people about hell. He wants me to tell about the cross and the blood. He wants me to talk about the stories of the Bible. He wants me to bring faith and encouragement all around me wherever I go. He wants me to pray and fast for my family, for my neighborhood. He wants me to be excited about what he's excited for. And God is speaking to your heart. And you say, Pastor, that's what God wants me to do. If that's you, would you raise your hand to me? Just wave to me. God wants you to bring salvation to people. He's speaking to you. Come on, just wave to me. Let me see it. God is speaking to you. This is about deep stuff, heaven and hell. This is about life purpose. This is about life's joy. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who just lifted up their hands. I pray, God, you would give them an unction. I pray you would fill them with the Holy Spirit. I pray you give them strategy and wisdom. Lord God, I pray, Lord, you give them eyes to see. Give them a big heart. Put eternity deeper in their hearts. Lord, I pray whatever it takes, you would stretch them. You would grow them. They would walk in faith. Lord, they would invite people to church. Lord, they would open up their home. They would be generous with their money. God, they would extend themselves for the sake of souls. Raise up soul winners in our church. Raise up people who have passion and hearts. Lord, the foolishness of the world, let it go away. Let the heart of God, let us look outside and say, Lord, where are these people going? Where are my neighbors going? Young people, older people, everybody needs to hear the gospel. Oh God, do it in our hearts and do it in our lives. There's a second group of people. You've come here today, you're not sure if you would die, you would go to heaven or hell. I want to tell you, Jesus wants to take you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus did for you what you can't do for yourself. He died on the cross, and he became the sacrifice. He became the designated sin offering that pleased God. And if you'll look to Jesus Christ, say, Lord, you did this for me. You're saving my soul. There is a sense that you have to ask him in. The Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you give your life to Christ. He's not just saving you so you have a better life. He's saving you from the fiery pit of hell for all of eternity. He's trying to lift you up and save your soul beginning today. Oh, it's real. And today could be your day. You say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to give my heart and be. I want to be saved. The Lord wants to save you. He wants to save you. Two people in the first service lifted their hand. I know one of the people, man, they're rough, new. But God's working on them. God's working on them. This morning, you come to God's house, you say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Christ. It's not just I want to get out of hell. But Lord, I'm giving my life. I want to start serving him the rest of my life. And the Lord wants to save you and give you a brand new life and transform you from the inside out. He can do, he can save you. He's a good God. He loves you. This morning, no one's looking around, but even if everybody was, who cares? Say, Pastor, I want Jesus to save me. I want to pray for you. Is there anyone in the house today? Lift up your hand and say, I need salvation. I need to be saved. I need to give my life to Christ, young man. Anyone else? Young person, another man? Anyone else in the house? You need to be saved. Three people. Anybody else? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Anybody else? You need salvation. We're going to pray together, but you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Anyone else? I think three people lifted their hand. You need to be saved. Sometimes God uses people to help pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask all of the church to pray. These would be all of your new friends. The Bible says when you come to Christ, you come into the family of God. Brothers and sisters, we've all come through the grace of God, the mercy of God. God is faithful. He's good. But let's pray that way. Dear Jesus, let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you rose again for me and my sin. I receive your love. I repent of my sin. And I ask you to save me from this day forward. I give my life. I will serve you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just thank the Lord for his goodness?